Prepare yourself! Prepare yourself!
You're listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. House Play.
Well, now you can forget about going to the amusement park.
Keep it real. Take the Red Pill. You're listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. House Baby. Keep it real. Take the Red Pill.
You drive a hard bargain.
Yes, hello. Hello, good evening. Good morning, wherever you are. This is the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I'm your host, V. And, yes. Well, tonight was going to be one of those nights where I did a little commentary on on a documentary or so. But, I don't know. I got some feedback on it already. It seems like a few people have already seen it. A lot of people have already seen it. So, I don't know, I'm not going to beat that dead horse. We all know how we feel about corrupt police departments and those they employ. So instead, I've got a couple of interviews I did on other people's shows. You all know, I actually love being the interviewee more than I like being the interviewer. It's just a great feeling to being able to educate people, especially those who only have a small piece of the puzzle. I like filling in the rest of the blanks. And, you know, this is just for you guys. It's the same old me, of course. I mean, you're not going to get too many surprises out of me as far as these interviews are concerned, except for, I don't know, different interviewers are able to inquire in their own style and get more details and ask about some things that weren't asked about before. And, of course, over time, my opinions do evolve a bit, and you're able to actually recall more details about things whenever you are asked about them and the various matters that, you know, people are questioning about. So we're just going to go ahead and dive into that. We'll be back next Monday. I will be back Monday as well. So please enjoy these interviews and let me know how you feel about these guys, because these two particular hosts are going to be hosts on the new TV network based on the feedback that we get. So please go ahead and let me know. Give me a call Monday. You can call next week and tell me how you feel about Peter G. and Carol Noonan. So, yes, once again, please enjoy these interviews, and I will see you guys next week.
So, welcome, everyone, to the Cosmic Ascension Waves of Light with myself, Soma Ara, and my guest this evening. I'm thrilled to have here. He's called V. He's a targeted individual, and he has the Red Pill Nation show. So where should we start, V?
Well, actually, that's Naroki 5's show. The Red Pill Nation is Naroki 5 and Rearson. I'm a regular guest host on the show, pretty much every other week. so that's great. I'm actually the host of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show on the Public Broadcasting Network.
And let's, okay, so the hard copy.
The Red Pill Hardcore.
Hardcore. Okay, so let's start from the beginning. Where did you grow up? Obviously, you're an American with the accent, but where did you grow up?
I grew up in Austin, Texas.
Okay.
And yeah, little blue spot in the middle of Red State.
Okay. And was that a good upbringing?
I'm sorry, one more time?
Did you have a... Was that a good upbringing? I'm guessing
that... The upbringing I had... it was unique. The good or bad is very subjective. Objectively, I had an excellent upbringing. I come from a military family. You know, a father's retired military, was brothers. I was in the army, so objectively, I had a good upbringing. I learned everything about the world that I really did need to know.
Okay. And so I'm going to skip forward a little bit. So when did the targeting start? Did it start as a child? Tell us
there
a bit.
Are different levels of targeting. There are different levels of... I mean, society knows of discrimination and things like that. But as far as the covert military targeting, it began when I left the army.
Okay.
I had got an honorable medical discharge, but the people, they didn't want to let me go. And they were very sour about that.
Okay, so, and how long ago was that? When did you leave the Army?
Oh, wow. late 2000s.
Okay. Okay, so... Okay, so that's like 20 years ago or something? Around 20 years?
Wow. Thank you. I'm not that old. I was about... I'm only 35 years old. Okay. I want to say... more than 11 years ago...
Okay, more than 11. So, what? So when you left the Army, what kind of things? I mean, so today we're just going to focus on targeted individuals and what that means for us. Because sometimes I'm in interviews and I say to people who work in this field, I say to them, "Well, I'm a targeted individual." And then when I say things to them, they're very surprised, you know. For the audience listening, what type of things did you start experiencing? And did you think it was yourself to begin with? Did you think you were going crazy? Because I know most people do, you know, think that. Because it's so unbelievable. It's so far-fetched, the stuff that we go through on a daily basis. And also I've been having a lot of voice to skull lately. And when I first got that, I didn't even know there was such a thing. I just knew that I was having these experiences. So tell us about your early experiences where you began to wake up to being and realizing that you were a targeted individual and your experiences. Can you talk to that, V?
Well, a lot of questions there. So basically... I'm a highly intelligent person. I really don't like using the word genius. More of a savant without the idiot. I was tested very young for my IQ back in the kindergarten days. You know, they pull certain students aside. Oh, we're going to do some special testing. Oh, it's nothing. Nothing special. You know, they're lying to the class. You know, I don't know why they do that. Maybe to make some students feel, you know, everybody's equal, everybody's normal. But I pulled aside, get tested, and shown that I was genius level. And so that's what this kind of revolves around, actually. So I did, in fact, start experiencing some very strange things. Right after leaving the military, I noticed I was harassed by police a lot. More so than even, you know, a black suspicious gangster guy walking the streets, you know, always getting pulled over, always just harassed. Now,
and what state, what county, what state were you in?
Well, Travis County and Williamson County, which is, I think, was the second federal state, the second county to go federal in the union. But yeah, you don't want to deal with these people in the courtrooms. I've had the fortune of people understanding that I'm in a situation where I shouldn't be. I've had talked to lots of police and judges, and, you know, they always have this demeanor of approaching it as if I were a hardcore criminal, but as soon as I open my mouth, people start falling in love with me. So I've had that one little advantage going through this process. But anyhow, I started experiencing, let's say back in 2014, end of 2014, what people call voice skull, which is actually synthetic telepathy. Two different technologies. And at a time...
Okay, so let me get this right. So voice to skull and synthetic telepathy, are they different things?
Voice to skull is nothing but microwaved signals being beamed at a person's head and they pick up the audio.
Yeah, because I saw it. I watched
and that's why you see the tinfoil hats, you know, and people try to get away from it. And people say that they have gotten away from it. Well, yeah. Some people have gotten away from the voices, and that's what it is, the microwave.
I just have to ask.
Well, it's the microwave hearing. Hold on. It's the microwave hearing. Microwave Frey effect, et cetera. There's radio frequency hearings. There are patents for it to help deaf people. All stuff exists. Okay? Synthetic telepathy is a whole different level. You can't get away from it because they use ELF, but really scalar energy, which basically you can block microwaves easy. Let me put it this way. ELF, scalar, they use ELF to communicate with submarines in deep parts of the ocean, the military. So that's just how pervasive it is. That's how invasive it is. You can't get away from it. I mean, there's one way I know of, but I can't talk about that right now. But anyhow, synthetic telepathy, you're hooked up to an AI. Sometimes a real person, but that's very rare. Very rare. This AI talks to you. It's back and forth. It's mind reading. There's a step in between, actually. Remote neural monitoring. That's where they're able to read and pick up your thoughts. When I say they, the NSA, CIA.
Yeah.
Start off as a CIA thing, but no, the NSA runs it. It's their baby. So you have the remote neural monitoring, but if you have a one-way street out, you also got a street in. So it's two-lane road. That's when you're talking to the AI. That's what simulates real schizophrenia. So with microwave hearing, the voice of the skull, there's no two-way communications. So that's kind of what has the technology mixed up. That's why it's so hard for victims to describe, because we're dealing with old terminology. And I'm having to leap forward and embrace the newer concepts and even invent a few myself, just to name a few things. So,
okay, and this stuff is real for anyone listening that is doubting what V is saying. And I know it's real because I've experienced a lot of it, as V has as well. So go away and research. I'm speaking to the audience now, V. I'm just saying, you know, to go away and research this stuff and to look at some of V's videos as well, because he's made some documentaries that are really good information, where he explains the technology and how it works and everything. And I did question it myself, V, when I was watching one of your documentaries, and it was talking about they use the microwaves to use some of this technology, but I don't actually have a microwave. But then in the later part of your documentary, it talks about some of the other technology that they use. So can you take us back to your first experience where you thought, I'm going crazy, or this is real?
Well, that was a very brief moment indeed. So as I'm experiencing the synthetic telepathy, I was actually video gaming with some friends, and I joked to one of them, hey, Kirk, what'd you say? The NSA is listening to us over Skype. Because I read an article online. Boom. Hit me right there as soon as I said NSA. And so it took me a couple days. Like, you know, was there some V feedback in my audio, my computer. What's going on here? Then I started what seemed like voices through the walls of my apartment. And some things start to click in my head. There's something extremely weird going on here that I really need to be aware of. See, now there were some things that happened before then. My two roommates had pretty much gone crazy. One left. The other roommate pretty much lived on the couch talking to himself for a month straight. He would make catcalls at our front door because my apartment was at an intersection on the outside of town. There's a gas station directly across the street and a bar. So make these strange catcalls, but I would come out every so often and ask him, "Hey, who are you talking to? What's going on?" "Oh, I'm not talking to anybody. I'm not talking to anybody. You're talking, I'm not talking to anybody." But I had my door open to my room and just watched this guy talking to himself nonstop. One day, he disappeared. I was coming back from school, but I noticed he was gone and come back for like another week. And he got all his clothes and left. No other words. So, a very stressing situation. It's like, how am I going to afford my rent now? Well, luckily, I talked to the apartment owners, and they let me have this entire huge apartment to myself for the same price I was paying as a roommate. So, I kind of lucked out there. But also, the neighbors down the way started hearing voices. One of these individuals had a father who was constantly outside standing, talking to himself nonstop, 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 nonstop. There was another neighbor which I actually talked to him about this, and I was thinking it was kind of strange. And I had recorded some video of some light phenomena happening in my apartment. I kid you not, he packed up his family and moved 2 days later. So there's another neighbor who very aggressive, not towards anybody, but you could just hear him screaming to his children, whatever, when you walk by. And those people ended up moving out very abruptly. And so this was a very small complex of people. I wouldn't say it's eight apartments.
Okay.
So that right there is a tip off. We're all experiencing something very strange. And then there's the individual downstairs who is sort of like the rat. Anything that happens, anything's going on, she's immediately on the phone with the owners of the apartments.
One of those, okay.
The snitch.
Yeah.
Okay, so I started hearing stuff, and I'm thinking the voices are coming through the walls. That's very strange. Saying very personal things, too. And I was thinking about this is not normal, because he's threatening to kill me. There's a lot of death threats threatening to kill me. You know, one day I just left my door open. I had a machete with me. It's like, come on, you want to come over here? Come take me.
You had a machete.
I slept on my couch, right there with the door wide open, waiting for somebody to come at me. That's how much I had no fear about the situation. No fear. I kind of sensed that this had something to do with fear. I'm not the kind of person that feels fear. I've had very tough situations in my life, I fear is not something that I feel. So after nothing happened to me, I did a little experiment. I had a stack of mail that was addressed to other people that kept coming to my mailbox. So I went next door and asked the neighbor if any of this mail was his. And he spoke very elegantly. It was, you know, not the same voice. Not the same voice at all. And it just said it wasn't his mail, yada, yada, yada. So at that point, I knew it wasn't my neighbor. Okay, so once that was busted, other things start to happen. So I did, as I've always studied, I've always been a student of as many subjects as I could. And psychology is one of those things that I studied ever since I could read. I spent enough time being grounded as a child where I've had nothing to do. I've read my encyclopedias from A to Z. Okay? So, I get books on psychology, mythology, any kind of ology. But psychology is something I was very interested in since I was very young. This didn't seem like schizophrenia. And I couldn't come to that conclusion, really, other than, you know, this is something that has to be going on that has to do with me and some fear. So I looked up everything. I went back over everything that I've learned in the past and see if there's any new developments. And so, okay, one, I'm too young I'm too old. I would be younger if this was happening, like if I was 12 or 13 at the latest, it could be considered schizophrenia. But I'm too old. Secondly, it doesn't run in my family. There's no history of it in my family. Thirdly, it just felt like it's coming from without. Mm-hmm. These were not voices coming from within.
Yeah, it's coming from the outside.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and very shortly after coming to that conclusion, I dug a little deeper, and I found targeted individuals. I'm like, okay. Looks like I gotta go down this ride. All right.
That must have been a sigh of relief when you discovered that, because that gives you an answer to and an explanation to what was going on with you. That must have been a huge relief.
Well, I watched a couple of videos on it instantly on YouTube of some people that were going through it, and just the sense of dread hit me. All the information is just based on you can't get away from it. You can't get away from it. If you target it, you're doomed for life.
Yeah. That's pretty much
it's like, yeah, and so... I looked deep within myself. I found the singularity. And the singularity is that point, is literally a point, but it's everything. You can see everything from the Big Bang to the end of the universe. It's that one time you become one with God. And answers just flood into your brain. I've meditated deeply and told myself, I won't accept this destiny. And so I found this moment. It's like, yeah, okay. It's going to take me 10 years to get you people, but I got you. And as it stands, I'm currently ahead of schedule, but that's a talk for another time. So once I figured out who it was, okay, because they kept trying to feed me different psyopses that they have, the standard ones, so, you know, we're aliens, we're angels, this God. You know, it's like these are all concepts that I will not bow to. So what's really going on? It took me a couple weeks, two or three weeks, but I reverse interrogated the AI. And it kept leading to a general answer of the government. Now, at some point, the AI stopped. And I heard this, like, feedback, like someone was moving a microphone from a speaker. Some feedback. And there's a human voice, a voice I've never heard, saying, this is the NSA. We want you to come back and work for us. I said, you're out of your mind. You think I'm coming back to the military? You're a genius. We need you. Well, too bad. You should have took care of me when you had me. Click. Back with the AI. And it had been the AI from that time forward onward. It was, I don't know. See, the military-industrial complex has this thing where it's, we have to own you, okay? If you're going to be a genius, you have to be owned by somebody. You have to work for somebody. You have to give your inventions to somebody. Because you can't be rich. You can't be, you know, teaching people stuff that we don't want people to know. You know, they have to control. You know, a genius is same thing as going tapping oil well. It's a resource.
Yeah.
And they want to own everything, especially when these cult members are, they dedicate their lives to mind control. And that's what government means. Governamente, it's Latin. Governare, govern. Mente means mind. So people don't see past the new upholstery, the new, you know, whistles and bells. Tear down that stuff and you're going to see the same cult that's been plaguing humanity since we started. Okay? We are intelligent, sensible creatures. Okay? It's to have government, it's not natural. It's really a cancer in human society. We need to be governing ourselves. But anyhow, so I started doing everything to these people that they were doing to me. They knew everything about me. Okay, so I data mined them. Okay, so they have this technology. How does it work? And I did one of those Zen moments again. How does this work? What's different about my world? And I'm just looking around my apartment. No, there's no bugs. There's no equipment in the walls. Just none of that. Step outside. You know, what's different about this world? How can they do this? And I'm looking up. And at this point in time, I lived in California. I looked up to the sky. And the sky is just cross pattern, chemtrails. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, it's the chemtrails. That's how they're doing it. And just, you wouldn't believe what the AI was freaking out. It's not the chemtrails, it's not the chemtrails. Please don't think that. Please don't think that. It's not the chemtrails, it's not the chemtrails. Yeah.
Oh, look there.
I got you. So at that point on, you know, my research into nanotechnology and frequency warfare, it all converged. And that's literally what it is. Some very simple components to do this mass crime on humanity. So
that's a big revelation that you had there when you went outside and looked to see, I mean, really looked to see what was going on and where
to stop and smell the roses.
Yeah. I mean, that's huge. So that must have been a big changing point for you, a big life-changing moment, you know?
Absolutely. Well, I started taking back control. And that's something that these target individuals these days, they have this whole messiah concept, I should say, that they believe in, that they're waiting for. Now, I'm not going to trash any religion, but if this stuff was happening to begin with, if there was somebody around who was destined to stop evil from happening to certain people, you'd think they would stop it from the very beginning and not ever let it happen. But anyhow, target individuals these days are all helpless. Help me, help me, somebody help me. Help me, help me, help me. Now, okay, I'm a student of theosophy, okay? I'm a student of a lot of religions, actually, a lot of concepts. Again, I'm a polymath. I like to explore all fields of knowledge. Now, I am a jack of all trades, a master of some. And I noticed you had a guest on your show, not the Basher, was she saying that somebody that calls himself a master is not really a master. There's just a, no. It's
which guest was that be?
All a master is somebody who takes information and uses that information to gain control over their life. That's a master.
I have to ask you, which guest was it? You don't have to name her, just describe her.
Toady Frog or something like that. Blonde lady, okay. Yeah, kind of heavy set.
I know who you mean, yeah.
Okay, no, there are masters. And those are the people who control and engineer. There are indeed masters. So I've had to become master of my universe. I'm already a master of myself. I mean, that's why they got into my head to begin with. They got in my head because they know I can't be led. So I started learning as much as I could, and yes, using that information to regain control over my life.
I just need to ask you a question about that, because I don't really understand that. So, because with me, I can't be controlled. I mean, I just can't. You know, I've had people try and steer me in a certain direction, and I've got such a stubborn personality that I just won't be told what to do. And I've been like that ever since I was very small, you know. And but what do you mean by, because I don't really understand what you were saying there, that because people like you and me won't be controlled, that they do try and target us for that reason, that we can't be controlled. But what is the point in doing that? Are they trying to, oh, I see. So, I think in answering my question, I've got the answer. So, because we can't be controlled, that's why they're doing it, because they're trying to control us. Is that right?
If you are targeted, especially via the covert technology, which is highly legal, by the way, it means that you're either a person of great influence, potentially, or you're a person of great intelligence and can rebel. So a lot of people are targeted because of those two reasons. That's the base. You have a lot of doctors, you have a lot of lawyers, you have a lot of scientists. You got a lot of people who are celebrities who experience the synthetic, but they'll never say anything. Most people experiencing this,
but then you've got
will never say anything.
But then you've got the spiritual people as well, who I think are hugely targeted. You know, the channels and people that channel information. I think they are targeted because of what they're doing. I think that's why I'm targeted. I think that's one of the reasons.
You know, I had some abilities when I was a child. I had the OBE thing down. I could...
That's out of
body. I could see into the future 24 hours in advance, maximum. I could, like, live an entire day just to wake up and then experience that entire day again. So, I've since lost those abilities, I guess, since losing my innocence, becoming an adult, maybe. I don't know. I think I did a trade-off. I have a bit of an ultra instinct. So, I'm more a super soldier than anything. My instincts are so spot on. It's almost on the level of like Spider-Man. I don't know why, like something can fall behind me. I can turn around and catch it.
Yeah. Okay.
I can't remember the last time I fell. You know, I've slipped on ice. Being here in Poland, I slipped on ice. I've done a little dance just to plant myself. I've never lost my equilibrium. So the last time I've actually fallen and hit the ground, I have no memory of ever doing that.
Wow.
I mean, it gets down to a level. I mean, multiple things are falling. I will, you know, juggle and then catch my foot like a cartoon, you know?
Yeah.
Can
you do that because you're seeing it in your mind before it's happening?
It's not that I see it before it's happening. Like I said, it's just it's an ultra instinct. As things happen, I become attuned to those movements. I'm a combat expert. You know, I've never lost a fight in my life. But it's just you have to, when you're in that state, you're not interacting with just one thing or one entity. You become a part of the universe. You just become one with the universe, one with your surroundings. I know it sounds kind of corny, like something out of a movie, but it's absolutely real. And it's like reading the words as they're being written. So it's not a before or after thing. It's right there in the moment.
In the moment. Okay. Got it.
So, right.
Wow. So, are you the black sheep of the family?
Yes. How'd you guess?
You have to watch out for those black sheep because they are the ones that, you know, everything has been inverted and twisted around. And I've always believed that the black sheep, because I'm a black sheep as well, that the black sheep are actually the good ones in the family. And I often find, especially in my own family, that it's the white sheep, so to speak, that are actually the black sheep. Like it's everything is twisted around, everything has been inverted, and
Well, yeah, I mean, I had an older brother. He was the golden child. He got everything he wanted. Spoiled rotten. You know, he was bought cars and expensive clothing and things like that. But when I came around, hey, guess what? You get the hand-me-downs. Oh, yeah. Nikes. you better take these off brands. You know, it was like, well, with the shoes, I understand. I got up to size 14 at the age of 14, the shoes, and you know, I was ripping my shoes apart like the Hulk. But that I understand. But anyways, yeah, just a lot of hand-me-downs, a lot of I wasn't even bought a car like my other siblings were. I got their hand-me-down car. So being the baby, I should have been the spoiled one, but I wasn't. So, but you know, that's okay. It's one of those things that prepared me for life, especially being a targeted individual. A lot of times I didn't have money to go out and buy something, so I'm my own repairman. I recycle. I recycle things like you wouldn't believe. I repurpose. I'll take things apart and make something else. And I do that kind of stuff all day, every day. So I'm not one for aesthetics, but utilization is much better.
Yeah. I mean, there is so much stuff that we chuck away sometimes that is, there's nothing wrong with it. I think that, yeah.
Being an environmentalist is a good thing, I think. Absolutely.
I'm going to take a very short break here, V, and I'm going to play a piece of music by Elijah Ray that I do have permission to play, just to, this is 7 minutes long, 7:34 minutes long.
Well, what time is it? You got to come on my show.
Yes, I'm going to. I'm just going to play a piece of music just very quickly. I may not play the whole thing, just so we can make tea and gather our thoughts. And I will send you some messages as well in the Zoom chat. So I shall see you in a few minutes. But I'll talk to you in between then. Okay, yes, we are back. Yes, I'm sorry about that. I just had to gather my thoughts. So let me make sure that that is not sharing. Yes, that's okay. I'm just going to close YouTube as well. Okay, so, yep, I have my coffee here. I just made a quick coffee and just gathered my thoughts.
Yeah, I have to go and get the merch. Yep. Red Pill Hardcore. Come to an online store near you. It's all about the merch.
So I have a really, like, I've had a really unusual life, and most of it hasn't been good. Like, I started off as a child. I was born in South Africa, as a white person, not even nothing to do with male or female, but as a white person, I always, as a young child, I always had a huge amount of guilt in what white people have done to certain countries, in what British people have done in certain countries. But I also realized that that has nothing to do with me at all. But anyway, I had, as a child, been born in South Africa. I had a huge amount of guilt that I think I've come to terms with or don't have it now. But so I was born in South Africa, moved to Ireland when I was about 7, then moved to London in the UK, moved to a place called Hackney, which is like the Bronx, and grew up there.
Wait, hold on. You're going to spoil this for me. You know you're coming on my show here in about 30 minutes, right?
But the reason, I'm sorry, B, the reason I'm telling you is that because I want to get to know more of your targeted individual experiences. So I was kind of leading up to, but I'll just go straight into it. So one of my first experiences with, I moved to Ireland 2009, 2010. I started to channel the Pleiadians consciously. And immediately, like 2 or 3 months, I think it was, maybe even 2 or 3 weeks, straight away, I started to get being targeted. I became targeted once I released on Facebook that I was channeling the Pleiadians. So that's how my targeting started. And I was actually, I might save that for you, for your interview, that first experience, because, yeah. So tell us more about your experiences. I'll save all that stuff for later on. Do you like, is it just voiced skull? Is it just voice technology that they use on you? Or do you, when you're in the astral, when you're asleep, do you get things happening? Do you get things happening in the day? Do people follow you? Because I know they have with me. I know I'm being watched. I know I've had my telephone tapped. My emails get intercepted. That kind of stuff. So does that happen to you, or is it just mostly voice to mind technology?
They tried the gang stalking with me. It lasted for about 2 weeks. Again, this program works only if you're afraid, if they can get you to be afraid. The concept of fear is beyond me. But I'm very confrontational.
Uh-oh.
That's the lightest way I can put it. I'm very confrontational. So these game stalkers...
I'm sorry to jump in there, but so that leads me to a question, because I'm starting to, like, I want to get a picture in my mind of you and who you are as a person. And I'm starting to see a little bit of a bigger picture. So of who you are, I'm trying to get.
Well, okay. This is kind of me. This is what I tell people.
I just want to ask you one very quick thing. And then you've got the floor. Okay. Do you know on a soul level who you are? Where you came from, why you're here.
Absolutely.
And also, do you know, have you seen your past lives?
I tap into my genetic memory all the time. I'm somebody who has made a vow to destroy these people. I don't know exactly how many lifetimes I've vowed to do that, but I know it's definitely one for this one, and I vowed the next one if I didn't finish the job this time around. So, and just picturing me, just if you can get the concept, it's just, imagine, and this is absolutely true, imagine someone who is a chess champion and A-string football player. Okay? I don't know. I learned to play chess when I was 5, my dad taught it to me. Never really played it again. Fast forward several years. I'm in junior high, 8th grade. Someone drags me into the chess club. They're having a tournament. I won the tournament. So, and at that time, yeah, I was having fun. I was an A-string football player. Girls loving me. You know, I'm loving being the guy on the team that is told, you don't have to work out today. No, you're twice as big as everybody else. You don't have to work out today. But my dad, he was not allowed to work out, period. He was just raw muscle when he was in school. But, you know, we're all a little bit different, I guess. But that's how I am. So the gang stalking stopped because I started approaching these individuals. Not aggressively at first. I just started doing what they were doing to me because they pull out next to me in a vehicle, pull up a newspaper and a tablet, whatever, and follow me everywhere I go. I'd started walking up to their vehicles, writing down license plate number, getting a description of who they are, take a picture of them. And it was old people, retirees. Every time it was someone wearing a retired Navy, retired Air Force, retired some military, yeah, wearing a hat. Okay, each one of them.
Yeah.
It's like, so they pull these people out of retirement or give them something to do because they have nothing to do. Like they didn't already waste 20 or 30 years of their lives.
Yeah.
They think it's the service of their country. That's what they're told.
Yeah. You get the same thing here, V. You know, I do get followed a lot, and I've been going to the beach a lot. And I definitely get followed on the beach, which is strange but I can feel it. You know, I'm one of those people like you, when you were describing like turning around and being able to catch something as it drops. For example, I was in my supermarket and the ceiling is about 100 foot tall and I could feel something above my head and I didn't know what it was. And I was looking up, I couldn't see anything. And then I looked directly above me and I could see this window, and it was actually because I could feel something above my head. And I looked up and there was a little window skylight in the ceiling, which was like 100 feet above my head, and was actually birds flying above me. Like I'm very, very sensitive to energy, whether it's birds or animals or humans, any type of energy. I've got a very wide span field going out where I'm able to feel energy in my surroundings. So I know when I'm being followed. And there are times I do feel something above my head and I'm outside. And sometimes I think, well, it must be a drone because I'm not really sure what it is. But I do absolutely get followed. I also see a lot of people with like a NASA t-shirt, NASA, NASA t-shirt on. So for me, that's alarm bells. But yeah, so I'll just pass it back over to you, V.
Well, okay, so after the gang stalking stopped, because I'm pretty sure I scared the hell out of these elderly people. Yeah, I started getting the drone stalking. One actually hovered outside of my apartment window for hours. I stared at it for hours, like wanting it to make a move. You know, go ahead, you know, oh, make a move. I'm wanting to. I stared for hours.
Was it reachable? If you opened the window, could you have reached in and got it? Could you have reached out and grabbed it?
Yeah. I could open the window and punched it. Yeah.
Did you ever think about doing that?
I was waiting for it to do something aggressive. Oh. I had my machete right next to me. I would have flew right through the window like a freaking superhero. I was ready. But after that point on, I was being followed everywhere around town. I lived in a very small retirement community with only about 16,000 people in California. But yet, this drone followed me around. I went even out to the mountains where I lived, out of town.
So tell us about that. I mean, I heard in another interview with you that we did together that you knocked it when you opened the window. You accidentally knocked it. The drone.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.